Support comes from WFAE members and Mazda of South Charlotte, focused on applying Mazda's customer-centric approach for vehicle design to car buying and servicing in order to create an experience centered around the customer. More at MazdaofSouthCharlotte.com. This is Charlotte Talks. I'm Mike Collins. As you drive around our area, you may have thought, gee, there's a lot of litter on our roads. Well, it's not your imagination, it's a fact. Our roads and sidewalks have slowly become a dumping ground in some places, and it isn't just discarded fast food wrappers and styrofoam cups lying around. In some cases, it's discarded old furniture, building materials, even old appliances. An eyesore, to be sure, and one that harms the environment as some of this material reaches into wooded areas and creeks and streams, endangering wildlife in the process. It also costs you money. NCDOT spends millions of dollars every year on removing litter, money that could be spent on fixing other things like, potholes, improving roads and bridges, even help build a better transportation system. So this hour, a closer look at the problem, the challenge of reversing this trend, and what you can do to help. Eric De La Pena is Deputy Director of Operations for Charlotte's Solid Waste Services. He joins us along with Jeffrey Smithberger, Solid Waste Director of Mecklenburg County. The county and the city play different roles in this process, and we'll find out how that works. Felix Obregon is also with us. He's an engineer with the North Carolina Department of Transportation. NCDOT is responsible for litter on our roads, a really big job. And Jonathan Hill is Executive Director of Keep Charlotte Beautiful, which is a volunteer organization. Thank you all for being here. Good morning.
Good morning.
So, Eric, I'm starting with you, Eric De La Pena, because you're the deputy director of the Charlotte Solid Waste Management Service, and it's we're going to start with Charlotte and then widen it out. How would you characterize the problem of litter within the city?
So, it's definitely an issue, and I'll speak specifically to the tonnages. So if you look at the tonnage for fiscal 24, as far as litter collected in the city right of way, we were at approximately 7,500 tons. If we go back a year earlier to fiscal 23, just as a comparison, and this is on city maintained streets, we were at roughly 7,300 tons. So when you consider just the sheer volume of what that means, you consider, say, a Mitsubishi Mirage, they're about 2,000 pounds, it's about a ton. So consider 7,000 of those, right? So so it's definitely a very big issue as far as, collection in the city right of way. And our crews are working really hard to keep it clean and keep our city beautiful.
I want to come back to the idea of tons of litter in a moment, but let me check in first with Jeffrey Smithberger. He's your compatriot on the county side of things. And when we talk about things within Charlotte, people get very confused about what Charlotte, the city, is responsible for and what Mecklenburg County, in which the city resides, is responsible for. So, Jeff, how would you characterize the impact on the county?
Well, good morning, Mike. We have sort of similar problems. You know, the county manages the solid waste issues associated with the towns and the unincorporated areas. So we're everywhere from Huntersville to Pineville to Matthews, Cornelius, whatever. We have also seen litter remain either fairly constant or grow a little bit from time to time. And we see that the litter is really, we put it in two buckets, Mike. We put it in intentional littering, where people are throwing something out of a window of a car or a boat, or unintentional littering, where something is blowing out of the back of a vehicle that's moving along. And so we have seen a rise in unintentional littering. And, you know, we attribute that to blown items that come out of things. We're similar to Eric. We see rises and falls in things. We see more litter in the summer months than we do in the winter months. And we also see litter associated with construction activities.
Is that because, if you see more in the summer months, is that because people are driving down the roads and they're more apt to open their windows and toss things out than they are in the winter? And if so, why? Because it's hot as heck in the summertime, it's cold as heck in the wintertime.
Well, I think it's probably a relationship of how many more vehicles may be on the road. And we've also seen a bit of an uptick in litter since people have come back to work. Let's face it, a couple of years ago when there was this pandemic thing going on and people were staying at home, there were not as many cars on the road. Many, many people have returned back to work now. And the more traveling that occurs, the more opportunities there are for things to inadvertently fly off vehicles, the more construction activity that goes on. So, we continue on with the messaging that we do, and we partner with others to try to get that messaging out. But, I've been around for a long time, and I remember a guy, that was Native American, Iron Eyes Cody, back in the 70s, that was an ad on television. And, this is something that was occurring 50 years ago, and it's still occurring today, and it's a behavioral problem.
Jonathan, you're with Keep Charlotte Beautiful. Several times a year, you have volunteers out on the roads picking up stuff, trash, litter, things that people leave behind. And I want to talk about this idea of tons of litter. Eric, how many tons did you say?
So for fiscal 24, we were at roughly 7,500 tons.
7,500 tons. So since you're among the people, Jonathan, on the front lines of picking this up with volunteers doing this, what are we talking about here? Is this 75 tons of paper, of hamburger wrappers, or is it 75 tons that includes things like old shoeboxes and packing crates that get tossed aside and old dishwashers that get tossed by the side of the road? What are we talking about here?
That's a great question. I'd say it's really it's a mix of both, and it varies between area and area. So the number one thing littered in the United States is going to be cigarette butts. Despite popular opinion, they are not biodegradable. They contain a small plastic filter. That doesn't go away. It eventually breaks down into and goes into the water, et cetera. But we really, to be honest, don't entirely have the answer for what is the most littered item, or what constitutes that amount of litter in Charlotte. So we're actually partnering with UNC Charlotte right now to undertake a year-long citywide litter study, where volunteers are going to be going out starting next week. They're going to be going out in August, November, February, sampling road segments, and then quantifying that data to see exactly what's making up the litter in Charlotte, and get an estimate of how much litter is on the road in any given day. We did a pilot just kind of testing our methodology in April, found that plastic is definitely the number one thing that's littered. And when we see it on the roadside, it's not necessarily the things you think of, the straws and things like that. It's a lot of broken down plastic. So pieces that are so corroded, or they've been out there for so long that it's really unidentifiable where they initially came from.
So, in other words, you're picking up pieces of plastic. You have no idea what the or what product they initially were part of.
Precisely. We could hanker a guess, but that's a fair thing to say.
Yeah, and plastic is becoming an increasing problem in the world. We're even finding it in drinking water. We're ingesting plastic, microplastics, and that's part of the concern that people are just becoming aware of. And part of that is from litter that ends up in waterways and streams and other places. Since Eric and Jeffrey, you both do this for the county and the city, you will work with solid waste and disposal of solid waste and making sure it's contained. Talk to me about the distinct responsibilities that the city versus the county has. Eric, what does the city have to do aside from picking up trash?
So, of course, we have, our main operations are residential trash collection throughout the city. So we have over 200,000 collection points that we service each week. That's over 40,000 per day. But in addition to that, we are responsible for all of the city right-of-way and all city-maintained streets. So we have collection operations ranging from street sweeping, street flushing. We do, of course, litter control in the right-of-way. And we are also responsible for the Central Business District right away as well.
And what about the county, Jeff?
Mike, the county's primary role, if you're just talking about litter, is responding to complaints that we receive, as well as actively participating in litter cleanup. We have a crew from the Center of Employment Opportunities that we partner with. And those crews go out literally weekly and daily, and they pick up roadside litter, various different places. We do respond primarily to complaint-driven complaints first, and then in other areas, it's just by visual observation. We do also a lot of illegal dump cleanup. So, you know, I kind of couch it with a little bit of difference between some wrapper that might be on the side of the road versus somebody who backed up a truck and just decided to throw off a whole bunch of tires in one spot. And so we do have that occurring, and those occur generally at the ends of streets and cul-de-sacs and places where they're not very populous. And we clean up about 300 illegal dump sites a year throughout Mecklenburg County.
So volunteers are involved in cleaning up. The city is involved. The county is involved. And so is the state. Felix Obregon has been sitting very patiently here waiting to get into this conversation. He's an engineer with NCDOT. This is costly. This is not free. It costs taxpayers, us, money for you to do what you do to keep things in order. And in the NCDOT annual litter report, it says, despite ongoing efforts, litter remains a serious and costly problem for the state. Felix, how serious, how costly?
Well, thank you. Well, last year we spent several millions of dollars, almost $23 million to be able to pick up litter on our state maintained roads. That's statewide, which was about 11.5 million tons of garbage on state maintained roads. In Mecklenburg County, we spent about $1.5 million and we picked up about 150 tons of garbage, 150,000, I'm sorry, tons of garbage. This year alone, we spent close to $1 million and we've picked up about 150,000 tons of garbage. And then for this year, we spent about $12.5 million statewide in picking up trash as well. So it's definitely something that costs us a lot of money. It's really funds that we could utilize to fix potholes, pave more roads, and be able to do additional maintenance on our state maintained roads. So it's certainly something that costs money, and it shifts our priorities for maintenance. And it does have an impact, and folks may not necessarily understand how it does, but it really does shift funding from priorities that we have to keep our roads in a safe driving condition into this priority of having to pick up litter. And it varies, really. Like one of the other participants mentioned, is sometimes we have wrappers, sometimes we have folks that literally take trash from a construction site and dump it on the shoulder of the interstates. We actually had incidents where they literally dump a pile of asphalt on the shoulder of interstate, and we have to go in there and pick that up. So it's definitely something that we really strive to work on, but we're doing our efforts, but it's really, as a community, we all need to really work on that and have folks help us so we can kind of help each other out.
Felix, I only have 30 seconds, but there are cameras everywhere today. It's become increasingly difficult to commit a crime because you're on camera. Are we catching the perpetrators of somebody dumping asphalt on the side of an interstate? Are we catching them on camera?
Unfortunately, we're not, and it's difficult to be able to, at least on state maintained roads. We don't have the cameras on state maintained roads, so we aren't able to catch that. Perhaps on city roads, they might be able to do that.
We have to take a break. We'll come back and talk more about this, and we'll eventually get to fines and whether this is all being enforced or not. It's Charlotte Talks on WFAE. Support comes from WFAE members and Mazda of South Charlotte, incorporating Mazda's customer-centric vehicle design by making the customer the center of business to create a better car buying experience. More at MazdaofSouthCharlotte.com. It's Charlotte Talks on listener funded 90.7 WFAE and WFAE.org. I'm Mike Collins. We're talking about litter all over the place in Mecklenburg County, in the city of Charlotte, across North Carolina, with Eric De La Pena. He's Deputy Director of Solid Waste Management for Charlotte, the city. Jeffrey Smithberger is his counterpart at the county, Mecklenburg County. Felix Obregon is with us. He's an engineer with NCDOT. They are also involved in litter pickup. And so is Jonathan Hill, who is the executive director of Keep Charlotte Beautiful. Felix, is from a statewide point of view, is littering and the need to pick it up a problem that is growing?
I think it is. You know, there's a lot more vehicles out on the road. And as such, there's that provides the opportunity for folks to be able to throw trash out their window. And we're also seeing that on the numbers. So I think it is growing here, especially in the urban areas. That's where we really see it the most, at least NCDOT does.
So Eric and Jeff, Felix mentioned that it costs the state around $23, $24 million a year to pick this up. I know that they lump Mecklenburg County into what they call their District 10, which includes Anson, Cabarrus, Stanley, and Union counties. And that costs almost $3 million to deal with the litter from those counties, from that area, including us. So what does it cost the county? What does it cost Mecklenburg County?
Mike, there's several components in that. There's the cost of us having to employ folks to go do the actual pickup and the cleanup. And then there's the actual disposal cost that goes along with that. Our costs are a little bit less than what the state's are for that, but we're probably in the $200,000, $225,000 range for what we're doing.
And what about the city of Charlotte, Eric?
Yeah, so similar. So we are in the $6 million range specifically for litter control in the city right of way. And that includes our street sweeping operations as well.
So Felix, did I hear you correctly? Do you have a figure for what it costs the state to clean up roads within Mecklenburg County?
Yes. So last year we spent about $1.5 million. So and I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, so 1.5 from you, 600,000 from the county, that's $2 million. And then you said $6 million, Eric?
Yes.
That's $8 million a year we're spending on this. Have I done the math right? And that's with three entities, governmental entities, picking things up. And then in comes Jonathan and his organization. And there are other organizations. The Catawba River Keeper is involved in cleanups along the river. Jonathan, how much money do you think you're saving the state, the county, and the city by doing what you do?
So this year, we had over our volunteers contribute over 10,000 hours to picking up litter throughout Charlotte. If you go by the IRS standard for how much a volunteer hour is worth, that's around $340,000 to $350,000 saved through volunteer efforts.
Wow. NCDOT puts Charlotte, as I said, Charlotte and Mecklenburg County in their Division 10, along with Anson, Cabarrus, Stanley, and Union counties, where they pick up, if I'm not mistaken, at least these are the figures I got yesterday, 1,710,553 pounds of litter every year. What kind of trash is this, Eric? We talked about plastics, we talked about paper wrappers, but as you go through, since you're responsible for the downtown business district, mm-hmm. What are you finding there? And cigarette butts, what are you finding there?
So in the central business district, you can just imagine anything that comes out of a vehicle or we get a lot of wrappers from local, you know, vendors. We get a lot of, you know, food, fast food wrappers and things of that nature's cups. We also handle all the special events for the city right of way that impact the central business district. And so you consider 100,000 people converging on a really small area. And there's a lot of litter in those areas. So we do our best to collect that in real time. But yeah, a lot of that comes from those events as well.
Is the problem, particularly uptown or even in South End, is the problem a lack of trash receptacles? Or is it something, is it just laziness and I don't need this, I'm tossing it right now?
Yeah, so that's a really good question, and that's up for debate, I believe. So I have seen people, myself and our employees report the same. They're right near a trash receptacle, and they'll throw something on the ground. So we also service all of the CATS bus stations throughout the city of Charlotte, and we notice that the can will be empty, but there's litter everywhere around the container. So that's up for debate.
Jonathan, since you deal with volunteers who seem to care about what the city looks like, otherwise they wouldn't devote their time to this, how do you explain this behavior? And how do you fix it? Is it an educational thing? Is it pricking people's consciousness about consciences about this? What is it?
I wish there was an easy answer to that question. So there's a couple of different things that we do, and there have been plenty of behavioral studies about litter throughout the decades here. One of the main things that they find is lack of access to trash receptacles, but also that existing litter begets more litter. So the more littered an area is, the more likely people are to litter. Another interesting thing is that those no littering signs that a lot of neighborhoods want to put in, there's no real evidence or no significant evidence to show that those actually help. And in many cases, especially if the area accrues some litter, they actually act as kind of a beacon for more people to litter because they see that there is already litter on the road, so obviously that sign isn't getting enforced, and so they feel more inclined to
Well,
go
go
ahead.
ahead. I'm sorry. Well, plus we've got groups like yours out there picking up trash. We've got the state, the county, the city out there picking up trash. We've got the river keeper picking up trash. We got people picking up trash. So I'm just going to toss this here. They'll pick it up. Is that part of the problem? Felix.
I think it's a behavior, at least what we think is just a behavior where we really need to get folks to kind of let them know that, it costs money for whenever, anytime they throw something, we've got to pay someone to go out there and pick it up. And it's an educational component as well. And so, I think
I think it was
certainly something that.
Jonathan. I think it was Jonathan who just said that litter begets litter, and I guess litter comes from people, and the more people you have, the more litter is likely to be in existence. You've put, as I said, Mecklenburg County, Felix, into Division 10, but Gaston, Iredell, and Lincoln counties are grouped in D Division 12, along with Alexander, Catawba, and Cleveland counties, where you pick up a mere 469,483 pounds of litter every year. It's so much less, by over 1 million pounds, than the district in which you put Mecklenburg County. Is that because it's less dense in population, or are these folks who live in those areas somehow more responsible?
No, it's because there's less people. It's less dense. That's why, Charlotte's the 15th largest city in the US. So there's a lot more people that come to Charlotte from different areas. So they use our roads a little bit more. Just to put, if I can give you statistics on the number of roads. So Mecklenburg County, Division 10 manages 5,000 road miles. And to give you some perspective, the city of Charlotte manages about 2,500 road miles. So that's, there is a large difference there as well.
Jonathan, Keep Charlotte Beautiful is part of 700 of affiliates of Keep America Beautiful around the country. And I just am curious as to how our problem with litter compares to other cities that have affiliates like yours doing what you do in their cities. Are we worse? Are we better? Are we the same?
We're about the same. So a lot of cities throughout the United States are experiencing the same issues. And though they have their own, I'd like to say that Keep America Beautiful affiliates are like snowflakes. Everyone is a little bit unique. The amount of litter that we're seeing on the roads tends to be relatively equal. I was talking with the director over at Keep Nashville Beautiful, Nashville, Tennessee, a couple of weeks ago. There is a unit of measurement, the annual Community Appearance Index, or as we like to call it, Litter Index, that all Keep America Beautiful affiliates are required to do each year. It's basically a citywide observational study of litter. And our, at least in terms of comparing ourselves to Nashville, our numbers were relatively the same. I'd say maybe a percentage point or two off from what they're experiencing over there. So in general, this isn't a problem that's unique to Charlotte. This is something that cities are dealing with nationwide.
I don't know if anybody can answer this question, but you hear about other parts of the world, like old Canada, where Americans comment on how incredibly clean Canada is, how incredibly clean some of these European cities are, and they are more dense than certainly we are in many cases. I don't know if anybody can answer this, but somebody can take a stab at it. Why? Are the Canadians just naturally neater than we are? Are people in Norway naturally neater, or do they care more than we do? What's the crux of this?
You know, I think, Mike, I'll take a stab at it. I think there are regional differences, and you even see regional differences occur across the United States. And it has to do with, the behavioral aspects of what people, you know, will do and what they won't do. And, you know, you can translate this not only to litter, but to crime and to other things. What we try to do, and I think the rest of the folks in this group that we have this morning, we try to educate people to let them know that littering is not acceptable. I can't imagine a single person listening to your broadcast this morning that says that littering is acceptable, but yet it still occurs. And we educate, we try to communicate. And then when both of those two first things fail, then we have to go out and remediate. And so from our perspective, we don't want to be out collecting litter. None of the groups here do. But it's one of those things that to keep our community in an acceptable standard and to meet the standards that we have as a community, then these various groups band together and we each take on a little bit of piece of what we do. But it would sure help if people would quit littering.
I want to come back to something that you said, Jeff, a moment ago about the difference between intentional littering, where you just toss something because you don't want to carry it around anymore, and unintentional littering, where something flies out of the back of a truck. And you said that unintentional littering is on the increase. It's increasing. Do we know why?
Well, I think that also has that formula of there's more people out doing more things. There's more traffic on roads. There are more boats on Lake Norman and Lake Wylie and Catawba River. So we have more people engaging in doing things. You know, I just looked at a number yesterday about how many people have moved into Mecklenburg County in the last 10 years, and it was several hundred thousand folks. And so when you bring several hundred thousand more people into the mix, there's that opportunity to get additional chip bags and soda cans and other things. And I think it's a growing community that we have that causes that unintentional or active versus passive effect.
Are there particular parts of the city or the county that are apparently more prone to littering? And does the nature of the litter that you have to deal with change in any substantial way from area to area as you go through the county or the city? I'll start with you, Jeff.
What we are seeing, Mike, is in areas where there is a lot of industrial growth and activity, buildings being built, we see a lot more complaints about litter. So they fill up a dumpster outside and the wind gets up and then the dumpster causes things to blow around the area. We've also seen something that's strange that I've never seen in my career before, but we've gotten two or three complaints over this from the last month or so, buildings that the outside of the buildings are being sculpted with a foam material. The contractors are sculpting this foam on the outside of the building, which then causes little bits of foam to blow off of the building. And I'm talking of a facility that's 10 or more stories, and it carries in the wind and it covers a large area. We have issued notices of violations to several contractors who have been doing this. And I've never seen this, but it does still fall into the littering category.
Yeah. Some of this, what you're talking about, the foam situation, is not unlike styrofoam. And I think anybody who's bought anything that was delivered to their home, like a large item, like a TV, and you take it out of the cardboard box, it's protected by styrofoam, which is big. And you can't put it in the recycling bins and you can't put it in the trash can bins unless you break it. And when you break it, little pieces of foam go everywhere in the wind. And that's what you're talking about with these building foams materials. And I know that there's a difference between litter that's thrown out of car windows as people drive by, things like fast food wrappers and cups and straws and food remnants and dumping. There's a difference between that and dumping, where somebody might go to an empty lot or drop off larger, no longer needed items. Do you view these, Felix, because you deal with dumping, and you mentioned it a second ago, do you see these as separate things or part and parcel of the same problem? Would there be people who wouldn't think of throwing a McDonald's wrapper out of the car window who would think, well, I got this new refrigerator, so let me just dump the old one someplace?
You know, I kind of put it all together. You know, unfortunately, we see it, folks just trying to get rid of their trash. And we folks have gone, like what I'm going to say, a little bold at times and just put it on the road, and DOT will pick it up. Well, you know, mattresses.
Jeff, I know that the county picks up stuff. I think the county's responsible for that, or the city. You have to call 311 and arrange for pickup of large appliances or things like that. Is that not true? Or you can take them to the dump,
sure,
right?
Yeah, we the county operate 4 full service facilities, and we will accept many items at no cost. So if someone has something they want to get rid of, say that refrigerator, we, the county, will accept it at no cost. Eric's group, if you're within the city of Charlotte, they will pick it up curbside from that 311 call. We have other folks that don't live in the city. They might live in Matthews or Mid Hill or wherever. They have similar programs. We have a fairly comprehensive program that makes it easy for people to bring things to us or have us come get things. So there really isn't a need to throw things on the side of the road. Our facilities are even open on Saturdays, Mike. And we try to make it easy and convenient for people to bring things to us. But yet we still see people do things the incorrect way.
And I should point out that, Jeffrey, you told one of our producers that illegal dumping is a, quote, huge problem. People dumping mattresses on major roads and in neighborhoods. And I think last year Mecklenburg County spent $100,000 on cleaning that up. When we come back, I want to talk a little bit more about how you can get big items like that picked up or dealt with easily so you don't have to dump it on the side of the road. It's Charlotte Talks. Support comes from WFAE members and Mazda of South Charlotte. Using Mazda's customer-centric approach to cars to create a car buying and servicing experience where the customer is the center of their business. More at MazdaofSouthCharlotte.com. It's Charlotte Talks on WFAE and WFHE. I'm Mike Collins. We're talking about litter and the problem with it here within the city, the county, and the state of North Carolina. Eric De La Pena is the Deputy Director for Charlotte Solid Waste Management Services. Jeffrey Smithberger is the director of Mecklenburg County's Solid Waste Management Services. Felix Obregon is an engineer with NCDOT. They are engaged in picking up trash, among many other things. And Jonathan Hill is executive director of Keep Charlotte Beautiful. We mentioned a second ago, Eric, that in the county, illegal dumping is a huge problem. Things like mattresses and old discarded appliances, etc. And I also mentioned a second ago that we have in the city a number you can call, 311. And it's not just a number. We have an app that you can use. Talk about that.
Yeah, so it's really easy. You essentially just download an app. It's the CLT Plus app. And you can schedule bulk large items for free. And there's currently no limit on that. There's very little reason to dump large items in the city right of way, because like I said, we do in city limits, we do pick that up for free. And it's interesting, we were talking about the causation and, I think we have ideas on that. For us, it's pretty interesting that, you know, in the high density areas, that's where we find the litter. But in the areas where there are much lower density, more secluded areas is where we find the illegal dumping.
Jonathan.
I'd also say with that, giving a great shout out to 311, that you can also report litter on that app. So there are a number of ways that the city uses to track where litter is in Charlotte. One of those is through the frequency of 311 calls. So the more 311 calls about litter in an area, we have a great heat map of the city. The more we know it's a problem, the staff over at Solid Waste Services and Keep Charlotte Beautiful oftentimes don't have enough people to go out and see every single area every single day. So the more you can do as a resident to report things, the better informed we are about what's out there.
And although some people may be loath to do it, can you be anonymous on 311 when you if you see somebody dumping a mattress on the side of the road and you get their license plate number, or you just or just call to say, hey, somebody's dumped a mattress on the side of the road, I saw it happen. Can do you have to leave your name?
You don't. So Keep Charlotte Beautiful is within the quality of life team, which is in code enforcement now. One of the issues that code enforcement has with following up on some of those 311 calls, especially about illegal dumping, is that if you do it anonymously, there's no way they can follow up with you. So if they had clarifying questions about the location,
Right.
if they go out there and someone's cleaned it up so they can't issue a citation, it's harder for them to get in contact with you, but if you want to do it anonymously, you can.
Now, there are fines, which I want to talk about, for people who are caught littering, but it may be up to you, the citizen, to use that 311 number to report things, because evidently keeping track of all this is a challenge. And we reached out to CMPD to see if they tracked littering. And they responded, we don't keep littering citation statistics. Their only suggestion would be to maybe check out CDOT, which is Charlotte's Department of Transportation. Is Charlotte involved, Eric, in fining people for when they're caught littering or caught dumping illegally?
Yeah, I can't really speak much to fines or enforcement, but you know, for us, anything that changes behavior for the positive is welcome. So we can devote those resources to other beautification efforts throughout the city.
Damien emails us. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Jonathan.
I was going to say one of the challenges for CMPD when it comes to enforcing littering is, if you think about it, if there's a police car behind you, you're probably not going to want to commit any sort of crime. So the year before my time, I started with in this role in 2018, we did a citywide litter sting with CMPD, where all the officers were going out the whole day trying to cite people for litter. At the end of the day, they came up with zero citations. So it is the challenging thing with citing people, and this goes for cameras as well, is actually catching them in the act.
Damien emails us, when I was a kid, I would see signs along highways that stated minimum fines for littering, in some cases in the $1,000 or more range. You mentioned Canada, he says. In the 1990s, I took a school trip to Canada and vividly remember a sign after crossing near Niagara Falls that said minimum fine for littering, $30,000. We are talking about human behavior, he says, but what about enforcement? So, what about enforcement, Jeffrey? Littering is, in fact, against the law. It does carry a fine, not $30,000, although maybe that would do the trick. It would certainly put a dent in the costs that you're incurring. Talk about the minimum fine. What is the minimum fine for littering
Well,
if you're caught?
here in North Carolina, you know, we have a system of first offense, second offense. Generally, it's $250 fine is the minimum fee, you know, to gain entry into the littering anti-littering club, and it goes up to $1,000 for that first one. And so there's a range that judges would have to give. We in the solid waste group, my group, Eric's group, Jonathan, same thing with Felix, we don't have policing powers. So the policing powers rest with those folks that wear badges and carry guns. They are the ones that have to enforce this. So even if Jeff, the solid waste director, sees you littering, the most I can do generally is send you a letter that says, please don't do that. We observed you doing that. And it takes the police officer enforcement to do that. In other states and other areas, local solid waste groups do have an enforcement feature, but here in North Carolina, we don't.
Felix, the North Carolina Department of Public Safety says, quote, littering is against the law and carries a sizable fine. We just talked about that fine, $250 to $1,000 for first offense, and I think $2,000 afterward. You even have something called SWAT a litter bug. It's a program where you report somebody for littering. How often is it used? How effective has it been?
So I don't know the stats on how often it gets used or effective, but we certainly have that. And like as Jeff mentioned, it's folks receive a letter just stating that we saw someone observed them littering and educate them that that's illegal and that they need to not do that. But again, we don't, from an NCDOT perspective, we don't have the authority to provide a fine. That's law enforcement.
Well, evidently, enforcement of our litter laws is waning in North Carolina, has been for many years. And yet, as you have said at the very beginning of the program, Felix, we are spending in the tens of millions of dollars cleaning this up. Why isn't it being enforced? Why aren't these laws being enforced? Why aren't fines being levied where we catch somebody in the act? Felix.
Yes. So, so I think that's a great question. You know, I think that's probably requires a broader conversation with our other folks that are able to enforce the laws, but certainly it's something that I think needs to be looked at a little more carefully because we are spending millions of dollars each year, at least NCDOT is, to be able to pick up litter, but it requires a much broader conversation with our other partners. And really it's legislation needs to change to be able to provide those fines.
Well, you can have laws, but if you don't enforce them, everybody ignores them. And allegedly, we are a nation of the rule of law, but that seems to be weakening by the day, maybe by the hour, possibly by the minute. Earlier this summer, the legislature was considering a bill that would double fines for littering to at least $500 for a first offense, for less than 10 pounds of trash and increasing from there. Jeffrey, where does that stand at the moment? Do you know?
The last I heard, Mike, it did not gain any traction. And I think that gets back to what the legislature is hearing from its constituents. And if there were an overwhelming swarm of letters that fell on the General Assembly elected officials that said that they want this kind of thing to happen, but generally, this type of an action bubbles up from a grassroots group such as Keep Mecklenburg Beautiful or Keep Charlotte Beautiful. And then the legislative folks don't hear anything from their constituents because their constituents are the ones that drive change in the legislative bodies. And so if this is
or lobbyists
or lobbyists, exactly. But I can't imagine, Mike, that there's a trash lobby for wanting litter. you know, there may be many lobbies, but I'm not sure that there's a litter lobby.
Well, Jonathan, you run a group of volunteers who are involved in this several times a year in cleaning up. You know the problem like the back of your hand. Have you been or have other nonprofit volunteer-based organizations been to the legislature or spoken to members of the legislature about the severity of the problem and pointed out the costs that could be saved and the money to be made if we enforced the laws that are already on the books?
That's an excellent question. It's a little bit tricky with Keep Charlotte Beautiful because we are actually embedded within the city. So I'm a city employee. However, we did just create a Friends of Keep Charlotte Beautiful nonprofit to do fundraising and more advocacy like that. However, a lot of our focus, because it's so hard to actually catch people in the act when it comes to that litter enforcement, is working with nonprofits like Envision Charlotte and the producers themselves to try and create products that, even if they are littered, do less damage to the environment. So focusing on Making items more reusable instead of single-use plastic bottles, trying to go for more permanent water bottles.
So I'm going to back up for a second. So since you are with the city and Eric is with the city, are you telling me that the city cannot lobby the legislature to say, "Hey, you need to help us enforce these laws"? That's what you're telling me? You can't do that?
We can, but that's up to more city council and city manager as opposed to us as individual departments and staff. The city likes to have a unified message.
Eric, since you're with Charlotte's Solid Waste Management, has this ever been brought up to members of City Council or to the mayor that this is a multiple tens of millions of dollars problem every year?
Again, as Jonathan mentioned, that's something that we leave to the city manager's office and council to discuss.
I'll ask the same county question of the county, Jeff.
The county has a legislative agenda every year, and that legislative agenda generally does include an environmental component. And so there are the pieces of that environmental component that then go to the legislative bodies. Don't think any of the ones that we have really put forward in the last several years have been successful, but we always have an environmental component, and littering, and cleanup activities, are part of those pieces.
Felix, NCDOT has something called litter sweep. I think you do it twice a year. You're about to do it next month in September. I believe you did it back in April. So every 6 months, you do this. How many people are involved in that? On what roads in this region does that take place? Talk about that.
Yes, you're right. We do it twice a year. And really, we reach out to all the different groups that do Adopt a Highway. So we've got two programs that can help us clean roads. One is Adopt a Highway group, where folks take on ownership of cleaning roads, and we put a sign for their organization. And then we also have it for Sponsor a Highway, where they also help clean roads. So it's a 1 week. Twice it's 1 week in September and also in April, where all the different folks that have shown interest in the past, we go and clean the roads. And we've got routes where we a map where we get folks to come and help us out. But it's really a very long effort with the state personnel and also some volunteers that help us clean the roads.
You do this twice a year. I'm assuming that that's not enough, and that you actually have crews cleaning up year round. But these special efforts take place twice a year. Why do you need them?
Well, as I mentioned before, and other folks have also mentioned, it's just trying to bring attention to something that needs to be addressed with littering. So it's an educational component to get folks to know about the issue that we have, to educate them that it does take time, effort, and money to really be able to have our roads cleaned.
Jonathan, you rely at Keep Charlotte Beautiful on volunteers to clean things up. So does the Catawba River Keeper, and there are other organizations doing something similar. Obviously, Litter Sweep relies on some volunteer help. These are people working for free to clean up other people's mess. So if someone is caught littering to a degree that warrants a fine, shouldn't part of that fine being making them work with your organization out there cleaning things up? Should that be part of the punishment?
So it is to a certain extent once you get up to those subsequent offenses. So we have the community service hours requirement, and we have taken on a couple of people through that. But we're a program that's open to anyone. We invite everyone to attend, and we've got pretty sure all of my weekends from now until October, we've got something going on. So I'm staying pretty busy. I've got a pickup with pups event we do with CMPD in a couple of weeks. A Halloween cleanup where people can get dressed up. So there's a lot of different opportunities out there for folks to get involved on a local level.
Very quickly, Felix, I have maybe 30 seconds here. We talked about the tens of millions of dollars this cost that could be spent fixing potholes and building bridges and things like that. We have a lot of potholes and bad roads and rutted roads in this region. Is that because of this expense, or is it just because we don't spend enough money on our roads in the first place?
Well, certainly it shifts some of our funding to potholes. But we're definitely trying to get more money and to be able to address some of the potholes that we have in the area. We've got more users. More users create more wear and tear on the road, for sure.
Felix Obregon is an engineer with NCDOT. Jonathan Hill, executive director of Keep Charlotte Beautiful. Jeffrey Smithberger and Eric De La Pena are with Solid Waste Management for the county and city.
Celebrating 25 years on the air, Charlotte Talks with Mike Collins is a production of 90.7 WFAE. Support for Charlotte Talks comes from Mazda of South Charlotte. Our executive producer is Wendy Herkey. The senior producers are Gabe Altieri and Sarah D'Elia. Our engineer is Joby Sprinkle. For more information about Charlotte Talks, to listen to past episodes, or subscribe to the podcast, visit wfae.org/charlottetalks. Additional support for WFAE programming comes from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting.
Support comes from WFAE members and Mazda of South Charlotte, focused on applying Mazda's customer-centric approach for vehicle design to car buying and servicing in order to create an experience centered around the customer. More at MazdaofSouthCharlotte.com.